Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 1.1, What is Artificial Intelligence? If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, and I think it's just such a massive topic right now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, imagine opening your laptop tomorrow morning, and your email has just, already drafted replies in your exact tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
Or your calendar has automatically rescheduled a conflicting meeting based on your past preferences.
Right.
And your study notes have organically synthesized themselves into a practice quiz. Like, that isn't some science fiction movie pitch anymore.
Not at all.
That is the current reality of artificial intelligence. So today, we are basically breaking down the engine behind this massive shift and, exploring how you can transition from being just a passive consumer of this tech to someone who actually commands it.
Exactly. And the foundational definition provided in our lesson material really sets the baseline for everything we are going to cover today. It defines artificial intelligence as computer systems designed to perform tasks that normally require human intelligence.
Right, which sounds broad, but it's actually very specific when you break it down.
It is, because to really grasp the magnitude of that, we have to look at the specific cognitive functions the lesson highlights. So we're talking about recognizing patterns,
mm-hmm.
understanding language, solving problems, and making predictions. For the entirety of human history, processing information in that very specific associative way was, entirely exclusive to the biological human brain.
Okay, let's unpack this, because framing really matters here. When a lot of people hear the term artificial intelligence, their minds immediately jump to, a physical metallic robot sitting at a desk.
Oh, definitely. Or some rogue supercomputer from a sci-fi movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for you listening right now, we need to completely reset that image. A much more accurate, practical way to visualize AI is to think of it as a hyper-efficient, invisible digital assistant.
I like that. Hyper-efficient digital assistant.
Yeah, because it mimics how your brain identifies patterns and solves puzzles, but it operates at a massive superhuman scale of speed and volume. I mean, it's not a conscious being. It is just a simulation of specific cognitive tasks.
And that distinction is so important. The difference between conscious replication and task simulation is crucial for your digital readiness.
Right.
Because understanding the mechanics of how that simulation actually happens, that is what separates the people who will be, overwhelmed or replaced by technology from the people who will use technology to replace outdated workflows.
Yeah, absolutely. So why does understanding this basic definition matter right now for our listeners? Like, in their digital life and future career, how does the actual engine work?
Well, to understand those mechanics, the text outlines three core pillars.
Hmm.
You've got artificial intelligence itself, algorithms, and data.
Yeah.
We've already established AI as the overarching simulation of intelligence, right?
Right.
So the other two pillars, algorithms and data, those are the actual engine block.
Right. So if AI is the destination, algorithms and data are the vehicle getting us there. Let's look at algorithms first.
Yeah.
The lesson defines them as step-by-step instructions that help systems process information and make decisions.
Exactly.
But, historically, computing has always used instructions, right?
Yeah.
The shift from manual computing to artificial intelligence feels like a massive leap. How do algorithms operate differently today?
What's fascinating here is the deeply symbiotic relationship between modern algorithms and data.
Hmm.
In traditional computing, a human programmer had to manually write every single rule.
Oh, so if A happens, do B.
Right. If C happens, do D. It was very rigid. But the source emphasizes that modern AI systems learn, and this is the key part, they improve using data. Instead of being given rigid rules, the algorithm is given a goal, and then it is fed massive, massive amounts of data to figure out its own rules.
Wow. Think of an algorithm as a step-by-step recipe and data as the actual ingredients. A recipe can't bake a cake without ingredients, and an AI can't make decisions without data.
That's a perfect analogy. And connecting these concepts to the bigger picture, the source actually claims that understanding this relationship between algorithms and data helps students understand broader digital transformation. Because it's not just happening in tech companies, it's everywhere.
Yeah, so if algorithms are running on data everywhere, we really need to look at where this is actually happening in the listener's day-to-day life.
Exactly.
Because the text explicitly lists a surprising variety of fields where AI is increasingly used. It mentions education, healthcare, business, communication, transportation, and entertainment.
It really is ubiquitous.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The lesson challenges you to identify specific examples of AI in these fields. Like, it's one thing to know your streaming service is curated.
Right, we all know Netflix recommends movies.
Yeah, but it is another thing entirely to realize the exact same logic is filtering your professional communications. Or like, I recently had this experience where I was just casually researching a specific brand of ergonomic office chair.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Right. I maybe hovered over one image online for 2 seconds, and suddenly every single platform I opened was aggressively targeting me with ads for that exact chair. It felt incredibly invasive, almost like the machine was reading my mind.
It definitely feels like mind reading. But what you experienced was purely mathematical probability operating at scale. Let's break down the mechanism behind your chair example, because it directly answers the course activity about identifying AI in shopping and social media.
Okay, I'm ready. How does it actually work?
Behind the scenes, the system was doing something called clustering. It plotted your browsing habits, so your clicks, your dwell time, your search history, on a massive digital graph.
Just based on a few seconds.
Yep. Then the algorithmic detective found millions of other users whose data clustered into your exact demographic and behavioral pattern, and it simply looked at what they ended up buying next.
Oh, wow. So it isn't actually listening to my thoughts. It is just mapping my digital footprint against the crowd and playing the statistical odds.
It is entirely statistical.
Okay.
And on social media, the algorithm applies that exact same clustering mechanism to engagement. It analyzes the specific language of your preferences.
Right.
It tracks the exact pattern of content that causes you to stop scrolling, whether that's a heavily debated news topic or a specific style of humor. And then it clusters you with users who consume the same media, feeding you more of that highly specific data to maximize your time on the platform.
And in communication, that exact same pattern recognition mechanic is what powers your email spam filter.
Yes. Perfect example.
The filter analyzes millions of messages to recognize the structural fingerprints of a phishing scam.
Yeah.
And it neutralizes the threat before it ever reaches your inbox. I mean, realizing how much of our passive digital consumption is actively driven by these background systems really shifts your perspective.
It does. And we need to take that perspective shift and move from being passive consumers of AI to active, productive participants. This is especially critical when preparing for future career opportunities.
Yeah, we don't want to just be advertised to. We want to use it.
Right. The real value of this lesson lies in understanding how to leverage the technology to augment your own capabilities. Instead of just letting it curate your shopping, you can use it to curate your workflow.
Well, the lesson actually provides a highly practical real-world case study to illustrate this. It details a university student who significantly improved their study efficiency.
Yes, I love this example.
Right. And they didn't do this by, like, having a machine generate an essay for them. Instead, they use AI-powered language and research tools to organize unstructured notes and summarize complex learning materials.
Exactly how they achieved it is so important. By using it as a tool for organization rather than a replacement for thinking. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this case study is a perfect micro example of macro workplace adaptation.
How so?
Well, this is exactly what the source means by helping students adapt to future workplaces and use technology effectively. The transition we are seeing in the modern workplace is a shift from manual data processing to higher level cognitive management.
Okay, but I have to push back slightly here.
Sure.
Because it's really easy to feel overwhelmed by all these new tools. And on top of that, if you're relying on a machine to do your reading for you, aren't you skipping the learning part? Like, the mental struggle of wrestling with the material is how we learn. So I want to encourage you listening to view the case study as proof that AI is just a tool for efficiency, not a replacement for human effort.
That is a very valid point. It is a tool for efficiency. The sheer volume of unstructured data students and professionals must navigate today is entirely unprecedented. When the AI takes on the mechanical heavy lifting of sorting the data, it frees up your processing power for higher level critical analysis and application.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the difference between spending 3 grueling hours manually organizing 100 index cards by theme versus spending those 3 hours actually debating the concepts written on the cards.
Exactly. You are still the chief architect of the project. You have this tireless digital assistant executing the initial data crunching. You're the chef. The AI is just the food processor prepping the ingredients.
I love that. But while relying on AI for research and summaries is powerful, it also introduces risks if the tool's outputs aren't questioned, right? Like, What happens when the digital assistant gets it wrong?
Oh, absolutely. This raises an important question. If we refer back to our earlier point, AI relies heavily, entirely, really on data. Because it learns from data, we have to actively question how AI systems make decisions.
Right, because data isn't perfect.
Exactly. The source has a clear directive to explore AI tools critically and responsibly. Data is generated by humans, which means it can be deeply flawed, incomplete, or historically biased. The algorithm itself doesn't possess moral judgment.
It just sees math.
Right. It only sees mathematical patterns. It doesn't know the difference between a high-quality, verified fact and a widespread misconception found in its training data.
So for you listening, making those informed decisions, which is a key goal from the text, means not blindly trusting the algorithm.
Never blindly trust it.
Yeah. If the detective is handed blurry, manipulated, or incomplete fingerprints, it is going to confidently arrest the wrong suspect. So we want to encourage curiosity over fear here. Don't be afraid of the tool, but actively peek under the hood of how these tools arrive at their answers.
That is the perfect mindset. You have to maintain that responsible mindset. Cultivating that specific approach, choosing intellectual curiosity over blind trust, is the key to building long-term confidence with AI skills. You harness its incredible processing power, but you fundamentally respect its limitations.
Right. You challenge the summary. You verify the citations.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do we actually do this? Let's get to the practical growth advice. How do we build this habit? The text gives us some very specific, actionable strategies to help you build confidence. First, it advises you to observe where AI appears in your daily life.
Awareness is always the critical first step. Once you understand the underlying mechanics systems designed to recognize patterns, process language, make statistical predictions, you will honestly begin to notice it everywhere.
It's true. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah. So to guide that awareness, I want to pose the lesson's reflection prompt directly to you, the listener, right now. Think about this. How is AI already influencing my daily life, learning, and future career opportunities?
That's a great question to ask yourself.
Take some time today to genuinely audit your digital environment. Look at the software you use for school or work and identify those predictive models running in the background.
And then the second practical step is to learn basic AI terminology and concepts, which, hey, you are doing right now just by engaging with this deep dive.
Exactly.
You now understand the dynamic between algorithms and data. But to truly cement that knowledge, you really need hands-on practical application. The lesson highlights highly accessible practical digital tools like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, and Microsoft Copilot.
Very common tools.
Right. So my suggestion to you is to use these exact tools to practice the note organizing and summarizing techniques from that earlier case study. Open one of those platforms today. Take a document of messy, unstructured notes, paste them into the prompt window, and instruct the tool to organize and summarize them.
Engaging in that kind of low-stakes experimentation is the most effective way to adapt. You begin to learn the rhythm of the tool. You discover very quickly how changing just a few words in your prompt drastically alters the data the algorithm pulls from.
Yes, the prompt matters so much.
It really does, and you practice the vital skill of verifying the output like we just talked about. It transitions the technology from an intimidating abstract concept into a familiar practical utility sitting right on your desktop.
Which is the ultimate goal here.
Yeah.
So let's synthesize everything we've covered today to finalize your digital readiness for this foundational lesson.
Sounds good.
To recap the core key takeaways from the source. Artificial intelligence simulates aspects of human intelligence, like pattern recognition and problem solving.
Right.
It relies heavily on massive oceans of data to train its algorithms. It is used across multiple industries, everywhere from healthcare to entertainment.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, understanding it deeply supports your digital readiness.
Spot on. And as we wrap up this exploration, I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over. We have talked extensively today about how AI systems learn and improve based on data.
Mm-hmm.
And we have established that AI is increasingly embedded in our communication, shopping, and education. So consider this. How is your daily digital behavior, every link you click, every search query you type, every microscopic pause as you scroll, actively training the very algorithms you'll be working alongside in the future workplace?
Oh, wow. That is a wild, empowering thought to leave on. You aren't just using the technology today. Your digital footprint is continually helping to shape its future intelligence.
Exactly.
Well, we want to encourage you to stay curious, responsible, and future ready as you continue to build these essential skills. Please be sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to lock in everything we discussed today.
And for those looking to expand their understanding even further, acknowledge the reference materials listed in the text. There are three fantastic books: Artificial Intelligence, A Guide for Thinking Humans, AI Superpowers, and Human Compatible. They offer phenomenal extended context on everything we've explored.
It's absolutely worth a read. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We appreciate your time, your attention, and your curiosity. Keep learning, and we'll catch you next time. Have a great day.
Thank you.